We spent quite a few weeks on this, and I just felt so impressed of the Lord to do so, to spend some time and looking back on what the early church was. What was it like according to the scripture? And so we've spent some time. We're kind of winding down that study, but we want to speak to you this morning on the subject that it's the only program, the church is the only program that God has. There isn't any other. And it's so important that we understand that. What we've done, if you want to call it program, if you want to call it institution, but it's the only plan of God. The church is His plan. He's the one that is building it. And it's His. He calls it my church. And it belongs to Him. So the local assembly is a called out assembly. And we need to understand the importance of it. What we've done is, and I'm just going to go real quickly back over the areas that we've covered, and I'm not going to comment on them, I'm just going to tell you what they were. But we've spent quite a bit of time going back, looking at the church in the early days, in its beginning, in the book of Acts. And so we talked about how the early church was a saved church. Now that may sound kind of silly, elementary, but it's not in the day that we live in. Because it's so important that people who come into the church and join the church. Now, I'm not talking about people coming to church. We want everybody to come to church. We want them to come hear the gospel, hear the word of God. But when they become a part of the church, they ought to be saved. They ought to know Christ as their personal Savior. We also studied the fact that back then, there was no question whether the person who was saved, they got baptized. You go through the book of Acts, and you'll find in the book of Acts, you'll always find anyone who gets saved, they got baptized. That's what you did. Not only that, we looked at the fact that the Lord's Supper was not an option. It was something you did. Because you was God's child, and because the church did that. It was commanded of the Lord to partake of the Lord's Supper. I believe with all my heart there's a lot of people out there really making a mistake. They claim to be saved. I'm not the one that judges their salvation. But they claim to be saved and haven't taken communion in years and years. That is disobedience. Because it's a command of God to partake of communion. I think I told you during that time, it's awful hard to stay backslidden if you come to the communion table in the right way. Because the communion table is a place of examination. You examine your heart. And so it's a wonderful. You take communion on a regular basis, and it's going to be awful hard to stay backslidden. See, if your heart gets right with God. So we talked how it was a praying church. They prayed. We talked also about it was a pure church. They lived pure lives. If not, it was dealt with. And then also, we studied the fact that it was a separated church. A lot of things nowadays, you know, people make fun of separation and all that. But the early church was a separated church. They were separated from evil, from the world, unto God. It was a separated church. And not only that, it was a kind church. It was a church that was instructed to treat each other in a kind, precious way. Not only that, we looked at it, we seen that it had spiritual pastors and deacons. This was the structure that God set up. God set up pastors to be over the church. Then He set up also for the helpers to be servants in the church, to be helpers to the pastor. He has a structure set up for the church. So we studied on that and the fact that they ought to be spiritual people. They ought to be people who love the Lord. They ought to be people who are walking with God, you see. And then also we talked about how that the early church was soul-winning church. They won souls to Christ. You find it throughout the book of Acts. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. They was a soul-winning church. And then, of course, we looked at the fact that it was a missionary church. They didn't just keep it within their local congregation. They was a missionary church. They believed in sending the gospel out wherever they could. And so we certainly want to be a missionary church. Then also we studied the fact that it was a persecuted church. Godly living, godly preaching, and I'm not just talking about from the pulpit, I'm talking about in our lives as we preach Christ, as we teach people about Jesus Christ, will bring persecution on our lives. That's absolutely scriptural. And so the early church was a persecuted church. And then, of course, today, I want to go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the third chapter of 1 Timothy. And I want to look at the fact that the church was God's only plan. He don't have two or three plans. He has one plan, and the church was it. He's the one who said he would build the church. And we need to get back, and through these studies, I've tried to encourage our folk concerning the fact that we need to realize how much Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And we need to get back to the fact and making the church very, very important in our life, should be the very center of our life. And so today we're going to look at the subject of it is God's only plan. It's God's only program. It's the only thing God has set up throughout the Word of God to be the instrument to take forth the Word of God and, of course, to get the work of God done. So again, we'll just kind of go through some things. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you some verses of Scripture out of the book of Acts. I'm not going to have you turn to every one of them. I'm going to try to do it very quickly. But I want to read some verses of Scripture. I want you to just listen. We spent some time, if you go to the word church and you go to the word churches, now as I remember right, we found that somewhere around 100 times in the New Testament. And if you find it that many times, it was important to God. Very, very important to him. So he spoke about it over and over and over and over. I'm just going to read you some verses from the book of Acts. In Acts, the second chapter, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as they should be saved. Acts 5, he says, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Acts 8, he said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. In Acts, the 9th chapter, he says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Again, talking about the churches. And he says in Acts 11, then tidings of these things came unto the ear of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Over and over and over in the book of Acts, you hear him speaking about the church or the churches. He says in Acts 12, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. That was one of the points in our discussion on persecution. God sent Satan sent O'Herod to cause havoc there by persecuting the leadership of the church, which was James. And then they went after Peter. Again, he says there, and Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And there again, what the church can do in prayer. The power that God gives the church and the ability to come to him in prayer. In Acts 15, he says, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. I suppose it wouldn't really do any good to just keep reading all those, because there's multitudes and multitudes of them in the book of Acts. What I'm trying to stress is the importance of the church to God Almighty. And we need, in this day that we live in, believe me, whether we understand it all or not, we need to get back realizing how important the church was to Jesus Christ and is to Jesus Christ today. It's very, very important to him. And we need to get back to realize that. And as I said, through the book of Acts, you find it over and over and over and over again, speaking of the church or the churches. The church is not just some afterthought of God. It is the plan of God. It's God's plan. And although there may be some try to come up with some other plan, come up with something else that they think would work just as well, you don't find it in the Word of God. It's always the church that God works through, you see. And He hasn't any other plan to carry on His work. It's always through the church. Now again, I just want to stress this to you because I want you to listen to me. If you think God has another plan, you better get into the book, the Bible, the Word of God, and find out what it is. Because you won't find it. You won't find it in the Scripture. It's not there. It's through the church. Now, I'm going to read to you some comments about the church. G.W. Lang made these first two comments that I'm going to read to you. I want you to just listen to what he said. Said, it is noticeable in the book of Acts that no attempt was made to form an organization of any kind for carrying on the work of the Lord. The local church was God's unit on earth for propagating the faith, and the disciples were content to work within that context. It was spiritual wisdom that saved the early church from setting up human organizations to carry on the work of the Lord. He went on to say, the apostles founded churches. And they founded nothing else. Because for the ends in view, nothing else was required or could have been so suitable. In each place where they labored, they formed the converts into local assembly. No other organization than the local church appears in the New Testament, nor do we find even a germ of anything further. Estep said this, I believe the kingdom of Christ on earth has suffered because individual men have failed to recognize the importance of the local church and the fact that the church is the working unit of the kingdom of God on earth at this present time. Once again, I'm stressing this after all these other lessons that we've went through, I'm stressing this for us to realize the importance of the church. If you go back, if you go back in history and you look up through what's happened here in the last few years, the church has been under great attack. Now, there's a reason for all of that, because it's God's plan. And the first thing you want to hear out of somebody's mouth is, well, I know this church did this, or, boy, them people down at this church, and they did that. That's the first thing you hear. Well, it's because Satan is attacking the church. I'm not saying the church is perfect. We know it isn't. If you ever find one, don't join it, because it won't be perfect any longer. But anyway, the church is not perfect, and it will not be perfect ever on earth, but it is God's plan. Church is God's plan, and we need to understand that and get back to realizing how much it meant to Him. It ought to mean that much to us. Amen. If it's His plan, we ought to be behind His plan. I'm going to talk just a moment or two on the subject of parachurch. You've probably heard the word parachurch. Para means something that's going alongside or something parallel with. In other words, these organizations that are formed that are not the church. There's all kinds of organizations that are formed outside the structure of the church. You don't find in the Word of God any authorization for those organizations whatsoever. And again, you've got to be so careful, because many of these organizations seem to be doing some good things and seem to be getting some things done. But let me say something to you. Everything ought to have the backing of the local church. I there's all kinds, and if I begin to pick this one or pick that one, I probably would get myself in trouble. But there's all kinds of these organizations. But folks, it must be backed by the local church. I believe something. I believe a college ought to be backed by the local church. I believe it ought to be. I believe that's right. That's proper. That it have a church that is that it's its head and over it. I believe every missionary, though he may be through a mission board help him, I believe every missionary ought to be backed by his local church, his home church, and they would be the ones that would have the authority over him, not the mission board. The local church should have the authority. So again, now, if you're having trouble with any of this, let's look at Scripture. You tell me in Scripture where it's anything else. You find in Scripture where it's anything else but the local church. You don't find that. It's always the local church that God establishes and sets up. as the authority. And that is so important. We get back to that. When you get back to realizing that the local church is that important to Jesus Christ, it'll become important to you. See, one of the reasons I really believe in Christians' lives, because the church isn't too important to them, is because they don't realize how important it is to Jesus Christ. He gave himself for it. He's the one that's building it. He's the one that established it, and he's the one that's building it. So we need to understand the importance of the church. So many of these organizations that are outside of the local church are not scriptural. They're not what God has ordained, even though there may be some things that they seemingly are doing okay. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there's some real problems within these organizations. They do not follow the structure of the local church. Now, the Bible tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And it's God's wisdom that's important. And God, through his wisdom, established the local churches. Now, Bible tells us that we are to teach all things. God instructed us to teach all things. Many of your organizations outside the church that is backed by the church do not teach those things. And I'm going to give you a few illustrations. Do you know that these churches, these big organizations, they have on television and all those, like the PTL Club and some of these other ones, they are not church backed. They are not. They do it. They got churches that support them, but they are not church backed. And you will find that they can't baptize anybody. When God instructed the church, he told them, you're to baptize people. You're to have the Lord's Supper. And you go and you watch these programs on TV and it becomes your church. Folks, how are you going to get baptized if you get saved? How are you going to get baptized except you do it through a local church? How are you going to partake of the Lord's Supper except you do it through a local church? These organizations are walking outside of the local church authority. You see, in fact, what will happen is they'll begin to not teach the truths of the Word of God. Let me give you two illustrations. Way back there, two organizations was formed. The YMCA and the YWCA was formed many years ago and supposedly done a lot of good things. And it was a Christian organization, men's Christian organization, women's Christian organization. But would you go to the YMCA? I'm not suggesting you go, but if you go to the YMCA today or the YWCA today, you'll find very little Christian about it. And that's what happens when it's not under the structure of the local church. It's the local church that God has established. He established in the local church, he established pastors. Now, I believe if you know your scripture, you know in the Word of God that God placed pastors over the local church. He did that. He's established. He put deacons also in the local church. He established that. And he set up a structure in the way that the local church was to be run. So these other organizations are not under the authority of a pastor, do not have deacons within their organization. No, they're just out here doing their own thing the way they want to do it. And it's unscriptural. And so, I'm encouraging you to get back and fall in love with the church. It's what God has ordained. It's from the church. You take care of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We do many ministries. We have many ministries. But it's all through the local church. We have a nursing home service today. I believe it's Bobby's going up to this service up here at the Jasonville Nursing Home. And he'll be preaching up there and holding a service up there under the authority of the local church. It's from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We run bus ministries. We run buses, as you can see. And the folk come in this morning on those buses, but it's under the authority of the local church. They're bringing them into the house of God. They're bringing them in here to hear. So the ministries ought to be under the authority of the local church. Now what happens is people want to go outside of the local church authority because they don't want any authority. They don't want any authority over them whatsoever. So they walk outside of the local church authority and want to do their own thing. But it's unscriptural. Let me use another one. I think most of you know Brother Booth, he founded the Salvation Army. He was a fire eater. I mean, he preached it right down the line. And they started an organization But let me say to you today, even the Salvation Army, although they do a lot of wonderful things, and I know they have a few places they meet, but they are not structured as God said for the local church to be structured. They're a social organization. And again, it should be under the authority of the local church. It always should be that, for it to do the right thing. There again, am I saying that they're not doing some good things? Certainly not. What I'm trying to do is get you back to where God had the church in the early days. Under the authority of the local church and in love with the local church and what the church was doing, because it was that which God was building. His son said that I will, upon this rock, I will build my church. And in the commissions that God gave, the Lord Jesus gave in all the gospel, that, you know, basically what he was telling them is the local church is an incubator. It's a place when a person gets saved, you're to come and get baptized. You're to come and to grow. And it's the place where we ought to bring the new converts in and help them to grow in the Lord. And they get baptized and they learn and they grow in the local church, you see. So once again, I hope you'll fall in love with the church. I hope you'll fall in love with the local church that God has established, you see. And remember, it's not perfect. It never will be. As long as it has imperfect humans like you and I in it, it will not be perfect. But it is God's plan, you see. And there's all kinds of these organizations out there, every size and shape and variety that you can find, but you got to be awful, awful careful with them because it was the church that God ordained. You know, it's kind of interesting because some of these organizations, and we'll talk about their finances in a few moments, but it's kind of interesting because some of them have some, I guess you would call them exciting programs, big programs and all of this. But if it's outside of the structure of the local church, they're not doing what God said to do. And we need to get a hold of that and realize it's through the local church. It takes a lot of money. It takes a whole lot of money to run some of these organizations. You take these organizations on TV, and they constantly ask for money. It takes millions of dollars to run those organizations, and they're an organization that's running outside the local church. They have no control. No one has any control over them. No one has any authority over them, whether it's done scripturally or not done scripturally, you see. So finances is important. I would encourage you, well, I'd be careful where I sent my money. I'd be very careful where I put my money. Very, very careful. We'll talk about the finances in a few minutes. But you want to be very careful where you give to, because you want to give as God has instructed you to give. It's very important. You and I will be accountable for that when we face the Lord. You know, I look at the life of Paul. I don't see Paul ever working outside the structure of the local church. He went into town. He'd done one of two things. He went to the church that was there, or he established one. Most of the time, he was establishing one. He established churches all over the place. But if he didn't, he went to the church. He went to the people. He called the people together. And I think if the Apostle Paul knew what he was doing, because he's the one that was instructed by the Lord to establish these churches. All right. Now, I want to talk about the finances for just a moment. I'm going to give you some insights to the way we do things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you've got to be awful careful where we give. Now, I'm going to go back over to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. The 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want to read verse 18 and 19. It says, "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." Once again, you notice that he says who was also chosen of the churches. It was the churches that sent him. The grace he was talking about there was the grace of giving. They were sending money to the churches and to the poor folk. And it was through the churches. If you'll notice in verse number 23 and verse number 24, he says, "Whether any do inquire inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren we inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf. Once again, as you read through the old time church during the book of Acts, you'll always find it was the churches, the individuals gave, but it was the churches who supported things. It was the churches who done things. Can you imagine having a mission program where everybody in here just decided that they're going to support their own mission and mission work? But as a church, you can do so much more. We have mission offerings, and you can gather the money into the churches and send out to missions all over this world. That's the way God established it. Here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the way we do our missions, and maybe this will help you. But we take 17% of everything that comes in tithes and offering goes into a mission fund. 17%. Every $100 you give, $17 of that goes to missions. We also have an opportunity once a month on a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday night of the month. We might want to give extra than that to missions. We have an offering on Wednesday night, and it's a missions offering. And anybody can give as much as they want to into the missions as extra. It's, I believe, a good plan. It's worked well for us. We're supporting right now 24 missionaries plus our college students. And maybe that's not a lot in some people's eyes. I was talking to Brother Sanders. I was talking to your son-in-law, and he said, well, Brother Ross, he said, down at Chattanooga, they support 700 missionaries. I said, but we're not Chattanooga. We're a little Jasonville, Indiana. And so that is wonderful. I think it is. Highland Park Baptist Church has a tremendous mission program. Dr. Robertson really started that back there, and he's supported so many missionaries. That's a wonderful thing. But we support 24 missionaries, and we give 17%. At this point, we give 17%. We just raised it from 16% to 17%. And it is right and proper that we give to missions. So you know, when you give your tithes and offering, 17% of that is automatically going to go into mission work. Okay? Plus, on that Wednesday night, at the first of the month, you can give into extra giving for missions. So it is a proper thing. It's right for us to have a good missionary church, you see, and support missions. Then also, just kind of help you on this, we have then the rest of that goes into a general fund. And I felt it's important, maybe I could kind of explain some of this to you. It goes into a general fund. Everything then is paid out of that general fund. We just bought a new refrigerator. For out in the building, somebody gave one. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But the church bought a new refrigerator. Your giving bought that. When we buy a new bus, your giving bought that bus if it comes out of the general fund. Again, I'm just trying to share with you because everything, the money comes into the general fund, but everything is paid out of that general fund. So you're paying for it. It's your money that is going for it, no matter what it is, you see. And regardless what ministry it is, the gas for the buses, the salaries here, and all of the other ministries, all of that comes out of the general fund. You are paying for it through the general fund. So it's important that I believe that you understand. That's why when we have our monthly business meeting, we have a financial report that lists every single check that is written. You know exactly where every check goes, every single one. And it's written down there for you. You take a copy of it home, and that's where the money goes. Okay? So again, I'm saying to you, it's important. Finances in a church is very, very important. So I thought it might help a little bit if you have a little bit of an understanding of that. Now let me get into another area. There's many times, and even in our building program, we set up a building fund. And what we did was we just simply asked people to give extra on top of their tithes and offerings, to give extra for the building fund. That went toward the building of that new addition you see back there. And people gave. And today, that's all paid for. That was paid for. We didn't do one thing back there until it was paid for. They wasn't a board put up unless it was paid for. And it was because people gave extra. on top of tithes and offerings. And so we built that building back there. God did it through you and giving. That's what it was all about. And so there again, there's times when people give extra things, extra gifts. Have you ever, you don't have to respond if you don't wish to, but has there ever been a time in your life when God pricked your heart and said, I want you to give extra toward this. I want you to do something for the church extra. Well, that's the way God works. And here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we've had many people who have done that. Just recently, there was someone who purchased a refrigerator for downstairs for our school, said that they believe God wanted them to. That was something extra. And God does that. And them are extra gifts and extra giving. The first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. It is proper and right for us to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. The word storehouse there is the same word used back in Malachi, where it was also talked about bringing in store into the storehouse. That is the way it's done. You bring it into the storehouse and you pay the bills and the work of the Lord's work. But if ever you want to do something extra, and I believe God does that many times, I've seen it so many times in the life of my ministry, God has worked upon somebody's heart to do something. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's what we would refer to as small, but it's something extra that they do because God told them to do it. But that's on top of the tithes and offerings. You don't take your tithes and offerings and decide how to spend the tithes and offerings. You bring that into the storehouse. What if everybody decided, well, I'm going to take my tithes and offering this week and I'm going to buy something for the church. Well, that don't work. You bring your tithes and offering in, and then the church spends the money and buys the things and pays the bills and does all those things. But if you have an extra gift that you want to give, and thank God there's multitudes have done that, what a blessing that is. What a help, what an extra help that is to the church. Amen. I'm just trying to give you some insights into the way we handle things here, and hopefully it'll help you. We want to be accountable. We want you to know where the money is spent. We want you to know how it's spent, and that's why we give a financial report to you. But the finances should go through the local church. That's the storehouse. That's the place that God has to do His work. And from there, it goes forward. It goes out. I'm amazed. Every year, at the end of the year, when we get our yearly financial statement, I literally am amazed at what God does here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I literally am amazed for the number of people that we have here, the amount of money that is brought into the storehouse here and that goes out in all the ministries that we have here at Blessed Hope. It's amazing what God has done here. Amen. So again, I'm simply saying to you, it's fall in love with the church. Just fall in love with it. And realize that that's what Jesus loved, was the church. And He gave Himself for it. You're going to find these little, time to time, you're going to find little things that you don't agree with. You don't like all this or that, or you don't like somebody. Somebody's, you know, put those things aside, folks. Put those things aside. Grow up. Be mature. And learn that this is the work of God. And old Satan, he's always going to try to destroy the work of the church. Why? Because it's God's plan. And there isn't any other plan. There isn't any other organization should be set up outside of the sanction of the local church. Amen? That's very, very important. And I hope that I've made it plain to you. You know, I've heard people say to me, I just ain't going to bring my tithes and offerings to church. I'm going to decide where I'm going to spend them. I'll spend it wherever I want to spend it. Well, I want to just tell you something. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is in the local church, that's where your heart will be. If it isn't, it won't. And you just mark it down. You just mark it down. You ought to look sometime. How much do you love the church? Well, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Amen. You ought to love the work of God. It's His plan. Amen. It's His plan. So I say to you once again, hopefully these lessons. I know you just got in on this one today. I just kind of wanted to bring this and kind of tie some of the things together that we've already said. But the importance of the local church is so important. Amen. And just grab a hold of that and remember that. Don't ask what your church can do for you, John F. Kennedy. Ask what you can do for your church. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness to us. Thank you for your wonderful love and all you've done for us. I want to thank you. I thank you for the church here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. It was established by you, and you watched over it all these years, and you've helped us, and you've guided us, and you've directed us, and Lord, you've provided for it, and I want to thank you for it. You help us, Lord, to love you. In Jesus' name, amen.